Well, let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would have been here a little bit earlier, but I got to stop and visit with a policeman in Bauxite a while ago. And she didn't even ask me where I was headed, so. But it's good to be in East End. We were with you a couple of weeks ago, and I get to be with you again next week. And then personal prayer request on the 10th of January, 4 days before my 70th birthday, I get new knees at Saline Memorial Hospital. So you pray that all goes well with the surgery and that also Kay will be very patient with me as I recover, all right? It's good to have Kay with me this morning. Last time I was here, she was in Tennessee babysitting some grandchildren. Our youngest grandchild, who just turned 10 months old, her name is Lucy. She had the second, I guess, open heart surgery a couple of weeks ago, but she's doing good. She's doing fine. Yes. And yesterday morning, they said she said her first word at 10 months, yelling at her older brother, Jax. So I guess she's really doing good if she can yell at her brother. Scripture for this morning, you heard read a few moments ago. Let me share it with you once again. It's in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, or chapter 2, in verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's New Year's Day, and it's a good passage of Scripture to use for that day that we tend to make resolutions. How many of you have ever made and kept a New Year's resolution? Made and kept, all right? How many of you have made New Year's resolutions, whether you kept them or not? Most of us have, haven't we? All right. Now, I'm proud to be an Arkansasian. You know, that there's some Arkansas traditions, though, that I have failed to embrace. And one of those is on New Year's Day, that part of the tradition, you're going to do part of it this morning. It says in Arkansas, people eat black-eyed peas and hog jowl. I'm not eating hog jowl, all right? I don't even want to see hog jowl, all right? Kind of wish I'd been born in Holland. You know what they eat in Holland on New Year's Day across the ocean? They eat donuts. So amen for Holland. All right, there must be some Dutch in my family somewhere along the line. Traditions abound at New Year's time. I don't know why necessarily. I guess it's just the beginning of a new year. Somebody once said that when you talk about time and with years passing, that the weakness of most New Year's resolutions is that they simply go in one year and out the other. Did you get that? In one year and out the other. All right. You don't have to laugh. It's not required. All right. A much better preacher than me, R.G. Lee, famous evangelist, he said, yesterday is the tomb of time. Tomorrow is the womb of time. Only now is ours. That makes a lot of sense. We must live in the present. Somebody once said, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash we have. You know, sometimes we like to live in the past and remember the past and think about the past, and that's good. And sometimes we dwell upon the future. What will tomorrow bring to us? And our imaginations can run wild there. But when you get right down to it, the only time we have guaranteed is right now, this very moment. We're not even guaranteed the next minute, nor the next second. It's right now. New Year's resolutions, we all make them. There's a hymn that we're going to sing in a few moments at the invitation time, and you're probably familiar with it. How many of you ever heard the hymn, I Am Resolved? Yeah, it's in your hymnal, I believe, and I'm sure the words will be on the screen. I am resolved. The chorus over and over, I am resolved. The first verse starts this way. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these hath allured my sight. Let's think about New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to give you a few to make right now this morning. It's called commitment. It's called promise. It's called resolution. That first verse, great words. One of my seminary professors once said, you know, one of the best ways to compose a sermon if you're stumped on Saturday night, and said, just find you a good hymn or gospel song that's biblically sound, and they will write a sermon for you. Well, this one certainly does. The hymn, I Am Resolved. Listen once again to that first verse. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these hath allured my sight. It's a hymn that stood the test of time. It was first written around the turn of the century, around 1900. And it was written by a group that was traveling from Ohio to San Francisco to a national youth rally. Now, think about that for a moment. And the story goes that they went by train, and the group from Ohio filled 14 of the passenger cars going by train from Ohio to San Francisco. Well, I've only ridden as a passenger train twice. Once was years ago. We took the kids when they were little down to Reeder, Arkansas. Y'all remember when there was a train down at Reeder? You ever been there? It was like the old Civil War. And you would get down there at Reeder. It's down near, okay, what's Reeder near? Anywhere? It's not near anywhere, is it? It's out in the middle of nowhere. But it's in South Arkansas. And when you get there, I guess they would take turns, but the day that we were there, the Confederate troops were in charge. And we boarded the train, and they were dressed in all of their gear and everything. And our daughter was about 6 years old at the time, around kindergarten age. And the soldiers were coming through, and they were greeting us, welcoming us to the train, shaking our hands. And as our 5 or 6 year old daughter extended her hand to be shaken, the Confederate soldier said, "Oh, no, ma'am, this is how we greet ladies in the South." And he kissed her hand like that, and she turned all kinds of shades of red. Well, we got down to the place where we were supposed to turn around, and the Union soldier showed up and took over the train. And our son got just as mad as he could get, all right, because he didn't want the other guys. He wanted the guys that were there. Well, that was a fun ride. When we first moved to Arkadelphia about 10 years ago, I decided I want to see what Amtrak's all about. So I bought a ticket from Arkadelphia to Malvern, 20 miles, all right? I wanted to see what it was like to ride in Amtrak, and I was pleasantly surprised. Very smooth ride, very spacious seating, and that's important when you're my size. And so I enjoyed that, and someday I hope to take a train trip maybe across part of the country. But as those 14 carloads of young people and some adults to supervise them rode that train to a youth rally in San Francisco, a big national event around the year 1900, somebody began to compose a song. And that somebody was a man by the name, I think his name was, it was James Hillmore. And he wrote, and another friend with him wrote the tune, and they came up with this. And they sang it over and over and over and over on that trip to California. So next time people my age complain about praise courses where we sing things over and over and over, they even did it back in 1900, all right? That's just how it works. It's a good song. The very first verse has the greatest resolution of all, and that is to resolve to be a spiritual person. And it takes resolution to do that. You've got to intend to do these things. They just don't happen in life. You have to make a conscious effort to be resolved. That first verse, once again, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight." Reminds me of Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, where Paul said, "For to be carnally or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be carnally minded or worldly minded is nothing but death. But to be spiritually minded, Paul encourages us to be so, because that's where true life and true peace comes from. Sometimes as Christians, we get frustrated because the world doesn't understand who we are and what we're all about. But they cannot understand, because the world is carnally minded. The world is spiritually dead. And we can't really expect the world to understand the importance of Christ to us, but we're to try to get them to see that. We must be spiritually minded people. How do you tell someone is a Christian? Well, there's several ways you could tell. Maybe they're carrying a Bible. Perhaps they're wearing some religious jewelry. Maybe they're just kind of a good person. It seems like that's the kind of person that a Christian should be. Well, how do you tell if a person is spiritually minded? It's because their priorities are found in the Bible. Their priorities is Christ-like living. You must every day, if you're a believer like I am, we must every day resolve to be spiritual people. Now that leads me to the second verse. How do you be spiritual? The second verse of that song, you'll find these words. "I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You want to be spiritually minded, it starts with you got to get saved. You got to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You must know that. And that is an experience that happens to you once in life. For me, it was when I was a teenager, as an unchurched child. It took a while for me to hear the gospel and understand what God wanted me to do and how much that Jesus loved me. But when I got to that point and the light bulb went on, I knew that there was one thing I needed to do that I had never done before, and that was profess Jesus Christ as my Savior. You must resolve to be a spiritual person every day. And if you're not saved, if you've never experienced and met Jesus as Savior, you're not going to be spiritual. Oh, you can give a good imitation of it. You may can sort of have a counterfeit morality about you, but the true believer, the one who has asked Jesus and confessed Him publicly and personally as Savior, is the person that has the power to be spiritual. That second verse, I am resolved to go to the Savior. I wish that I had gone to a Savior a long time, to the Savior a long time before I did. But I was unchurched, didn't go to church. My parents didn't go to church. They were good folks, but there was no spiritual aspect of our home. And I said a while ago, I'm glad to be an Arkansasian. I'm really glad because when Daddy retired and moved me from inner city St. Louis, Missouri, to small town Paragould, Arkansas, up in the northeast part of the state, he bought a house that was across the street from a Baptist preacher. And just down the street was a little Baptist church that had a youth group that invited me to come as like a 13 and 14-year-old. You don't want to know why I started going to church? Because they gave you free pizza on Sunday night. Now look at me. Can I eat pizza? Yes, I can. All right. I could survive on pizza alone, I do believe. That's where I met the Savior. Now let me ask you this morning, as this new year begins, 2023, it just overwhelms me to say that. As this new year begins, yes, resolve to be a spiritual person, but get it in the right order. First, make sure you've been saved. Make sure you've been born again. Make sure you know that there's a time in your life that you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You may not remember the calendar date or the time on the clock. That's not necessary, but you do need to remember that there was a time in your life in which you confessed Jesus as your Savior. For me, it was August the 11th, 1968. If you don't know when it was, just pick you out a day on a calendar in the year when you thought it happened. Celebrate that. The world had a great big celebration last night, New Year's Eve. Tried to watch something other than they didn't have much going as far as I was concerned, who was singing and who wasn't. But the world had this tremendous celebration last night. The new year has come in. I imagine a bunch of those people in Times Square don't feel too good this morning, don't you? For one reason or the other. You can celebrate New Year's all you want to, but unless you know Jesus Christ as Savior, your life is not what God wants it to be. We have to resolve every day to be spiritual, but then there's that one-time resolution to ask Jesus to save you. But there's a third verse of that song. The third verse are these words. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. Did you catch the words there? I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He says, do what He wills. He is the living way. What's the New Year resolutions I want you to make today? Well, first of all, resolve to be spiritual. Secondly, resolve to be saved. And if you haven't been saved, get saved right now. You don't have to wait till the invitation time. Right where you're sitting, you can ask Jesus. That kind of praying you do inside, ask Him to save you, to forgive you, and then you can come at the end of the service and confess Him publicly. But also, I want you to resolve to serve Him this year. Resolve to serve Him. The verse says, I resolve to follow the Savior. Now, to really follow Him, we need to kick in the fourth verse right now. The fourth verse has these words. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Still, I will enter in. Jesus said many words that really sting the soul. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, He said this. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Jesus said in Luke, the ninth chapter, that no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You want some New Year's resolutions? Well, yeah, let's all lose weight and get in better shape, all right? Let's all save money and not be so spending happy. But most importantly of all, resolved in 2023 that you're going to be the most spiritual person that you can be. And to do that, you know you're saved. And if you're saved, you're trying to serve Him. But it's New Year's. Another year's passed. I want you not only to resolve to serve Him, but resolved to stick with Him, all right? Resolved to stick with these resolutions. I'm resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, but still will I enter in. Resolutions seemingly don't last long, do they? Somebody once said, rules are made to be broken. No, rules are made to be followed, aren't they? Resolutions should be the same way. You make them to follow. In the Old Testament, there was a dire warning against making vows, which are really resolutions. And in the Old Testament, if you made a vow unto the Lord, you know what? God expected you to keep it. And in the Old Testament, if you were found guilty of breaking certain vows, you know what the penalty was? It was much more than a speeding ticket from a policeman in Bauxite. The penalty was this: death. Death for breaking a vow. Sometimes we are so guilty, we Baptists get so comfortable in our blessed assurance. That's according to R.G. Lee. We get so comfortable in our blessed assurance, and we get so comfortable of sitting on the premises, that we forget to stand up on the promises. We forget to be the kind of people God has called us to be. God needs people to stick with Him all the way through. Consistency. Ask any pastor, and I did it for 30 years full time. One of the most disappointing things in ministry is people who will make the promise to do something and never follow through. Oh, I'll teach that Sunday school class, and before the year's out, they're gone too. Or they promise God, God, you know, let's talk about the big one. God, I'm going to tithe this year. And then something happens to put them in a financial bind, and they just kind of fall behind on that promise. And the only one that knows it is them and God, unless they told somebody else. Sticking with it. Sometimes friends, like the song says, friends sometimes oppose who we are and what we do. Foes try to defeat us. But like one preacher once said, I'm glad I read all the way to the end of the book, the Bible, because at the end we do win. We do win. Sometimes dark times seem dark and almost our cause seems hopeless, but we do win. I thank God for those people who worked so hard since 1972 to cancel out Roe v. Wade. Took a long time to do away with that. That's gone. Now it's up to the states to decide what they're going to do with the abortion issue. Each state will decide. Oh, listen, sometimes we get weary trying to fight for what is right. And sometimes preachers just kind of harp on one thing. You know, when I was a young preacher 30 years ago, I had like 10 commandments to raise godly children. Now that sermon's entitled A Few Suggestions to Get You Through. As we grow older, we learn a few things, don't we? We sure do. Stick with it. There's a fourth verse in that song, a fifth verse. We've done four. Well, you know, as Baptists, usually we sing the first, second, and last. If you've never sung the third and fourth verse of this song, you missed the message. Fifth verse of that song, and the last one is this: I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, for what is our hope, or our joy, or our rejoicing? For you, the Thessalonians, for you are our glory and joy. How do you be a spiritual person? Well, you can carry the Bible. That's a good thing to do. Get you some good t-shirts that have a religious message on it. You know, I kind of like the one that he cleans better than Tide. But you got to be my age to know what Tide was, I guess. I like things that go on church signs. And my favorite I've ever seen was, it said, Jesus said, you catch them, I'll clean them. Be fishers of men and women, all right? You could wear a t-shirt, wear religious jewelry, but the greatest way of all is to simply speak up and be a witness. That fifth verse, once again, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Who's going to go with me? You know, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but if you do come to church, you'll be a better one, one that God wants you to be. You know, people say, well, I don't have to go to church to go to. No, you don't have to be. You don't have to go to church. But if you want to be the kind of servant that God wants you to be, you'll come and you will work with other believers to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The chorus of that song over and over, I will hasten, hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free, things that are higher, things that are nobler. Hastening. Time is short. I will be painfully honest with you. It didn't bother me one bit to turn 30 years old. I had no pause when I turned 40. 50 was a walk in the park. 60 meant, oh boy, retirement's inside. But you know what? Next month I'll be 70, and I'm kind of doing a lot of thinking about that. 70. I thought that was old people until just a few years ago, and now I'm going to be one, all right? 70. Will I get to celebrate number 80? I don't know. Odds may be against me. But when you get right down to it, no matter whether you're 20 or 70, whether you're 10 or 100, the only moment that you're guaranteed is right now. Right now. I found a poem a few years ago, and I don't know who wrote it, or I'd give them credit. It said this was found on a gravestone in a cemetery. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. It's 2023. 2022 wasn't the best year for us. In fact, last night while we were watching TV, somebody said what a terrible year it was. And I said, well, I don't guess it was that bad. And Kay said, well, you've forgotten a few things. And we did. We had several open heart surgeries, all this, that, and the other. But you know what? Despite all of that, this past year has been a good one because we have a granddaughter who seems to be getting well and doing good and going to turn that corner. Before you know it, 2024 will be here. And then 25, 26, if Jesus tarries, if he doesn't return, make the most of the moment right now. We live in a day and age, things are changing so fast. You know, I tried to make a joke out of this being one of the first youth choruses back around 1900. Well, it was. You know, music, worship is changing, how we do it, when we do it. It's changing so fast. We must remember the most important thing is whatever we do, whether it's together as God's people or individually as believers, what we do needs to be that which God honors and pleases him. Did you know that God created all styles of worship? God created all kinds of music. It's those humans of us that like one better than the other. But as long as music and sermons and lessons are biblically sound, no matter where they're at or how they are, or how long they are, how short they are, God is pleased when his people worship and serve him. So let me challenge you. New Year's resolution, make them all. You know, those of you that like hog jowl, just resolve to have it again tomorrow because it'll probably be left over. I think here's just cornbread and peas, right? That's what's here. Any hog jowl in this? Well, if there is, you can have my portion, all right? You know, just do all the New Year traditions, all you want to. Resolutions, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure if you make some important ones that you stick with them, especially if it comes to your relationship with Almighty God. Once again, the verses we started with, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That means I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's in the past, yesterday. All those broken resolutions, they're back there. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What can I do today, tomorrow, and the next day? What can I do to serve God? Paul said, I press toward that goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We press forward and we do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship, to celebrate, and to make resolutions. I'm so thankful that years ago that you loved me enough to reach down into my life, and I resolved that day many years ago as a teenager to share my life with you. Help me each day of this new year to resolve to be spiritual, to be thankful that I'm saved, to serve you to the best of my ability through your power, to stick with the program, and to share it with those who so desperately need to hear it. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to make a commitment public to honor you, we'll give them the opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and sing that great hymn together. And if you need to speak to a preacher, I'll be down front.